1 Corinthians chapter 11 explains about order. This order must be kept in society, family, or even in church. As I was, you know, sitting on top of this altar, you know, while watching the Mami magazine or watching a special performance through a handkerchief, or when I prayed with the handkerchief, the senior pastor prayed on, you know, the even nature, you know, keeps the law well. Just as our shepherd prayed, they obey. And it touched my heart too. So this order should be kept in society, family, or even in church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Well, the reason Apostle Paul is saying like this is that to keep the law, first of all, we have to be the imitators of Jesus Christ. Then, you know, we can say to others not to be imitators of me or us. Apostle Paul tried to resemble Jesus Christ, and he practiced the will of God in his entire life to resemble Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ, you know, obeyed to the will of God till death, Apostle Paul also followed the will of Jesus Christ, and he obeyed. So, whatever he did, his heart, his will, his dignity, all resemble Jesus Christ. So, since Apostle Paul resembled Jesus Christ completely, you know, with confidence, Apostle Paul could say to us that, you know, be imitators of me. So, if we be imitators of also Apostle Paul, you know, we, after all imitators of Christ, Jesus. His speech and the deeds. What Apostle Paul did was done in the truth. So if we resemble Apostle Paul, we resemble our Jesus Christ. If we resemble Jesus Christ, it means we resemble Father God. However, pastors cannot teach, you know, Christians to be imitators of themselves only because the Bible says so. It becomes arrogance. Apostle Paul could say so because he obeyed to the point of death and lived according to God's will. Since he lived in truth and walked in the truth, he resembled Jesus Christ. Since he became the imitator of Jesus Christ, he could say that be imitators of me. If Apostle Paul could not be sanctified, if he had not obeyed to the point of death, if he could not, had not participated in the divine nature of God, he couldn't have said, be imitators of me. Well, no. You know, with envy and jealousy, you cannot say to anybody, be imitators of me. We have to resemble Jesus Christ. We have to resemble Apostle Paul. However, someone says that, you know, since Apostle Paul said, you know, be imitators of me, you gotta be imitators of me. Well, if someone says like this, that is not right. Apostle Paul was confident that he lived completely in the will of God, with the heart of the Lord. If you are like that, you can tell people to be imitators of you. Now, how do you teach your children? If the parents have, you know, etiquettes, their intellect, and become examples in society, then, you know, the father could teach his children, be imitators of me. However, if the father, you know, did not live like that, you know, he cannot tell his children to be imitators of him. So, if there is a father who says to his children, be imitators of me, then he must be a good father. Let's think about the life of Apostle Paul. He lived only for God's glory, whatever he did. And he obeyed the word of God to the point of death. Even when he was beaten, persecuted, and faced disasters for the sake of Jesus Christ, he rejoiced and gave thanks. Who could do this among us? Who died as martyrs for Jesus Christ? Who was beaten? Who was persecuted? just like Apostle Paul did, and gave thanks and rejoiced for Jesus Christ and Father God. Apostle Paul didn't care about his life for the sake of Jesus Christ. Even if it was the way to death, if it was the will of God, he followed it. If it was the way for Jesus Christ, and if it is the will of God, he didn't stop walking. Those who saw visions tried to stop Apostle Paul from going to Jerusalem. They knew that, you know, Apostle Paul would be arrested. So they stopped Apostle Paul. However, Apostle Paul knew that it was the will of God. So following the will of Father God, he even went to Rome. He was not scared of death. When you have such a faith, you can say, be imitators of me, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Our senior pastor taught us how he loves God, how he prays, how he takes care of souls and loves souls. He always taught us. Someone said like this, if senior pastor meets with his own family, what does he say? She was curious. So I said, even at table, even in a meeting with, you know, church members, you know, he teaches us all the time in how to greet members, how to take care of souls, and how to pray. And you gotta pray more fervently. You gotta breathe properly when you pray. Now I'll show you example. Back then, you know, I cannot, you know, do it well right before you right now. But you know, when I'm fine, and I'll show you, you know, I show you the example. How to, you know, help us take care of souls more, how to love Father God more. He always talk about that. The one thing that I thought about was when we are in this kind of situation, the life of senior pastor. For the last 36 years, what kind of life he has lived? I mean, I cannot recall the look of senior pastor when I was very young, when I was a kid. But like, what about the 45 years? I could remember what kind of life he has lived when he was a novice Christian, when he was a deacon in a church, when he was a young pastor or senior pastor in the church. Just like Apostle Paul said, our senior pastor lived a life. And he could, you know, he can with confidence say to us that, you know, be imitators of me. I am so touched by that fact. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's be imitators of Apostle Paul. If you have true faith, you got to walk this way. Since Apostle Paul had hope for in heaven, you know, as he walked this way, you know, he could do it with joy. When he was eating, drinking, whatever he did, you know, he did for the glory of Father God. He didn't, you know, do it for his own benefit, for the benefit of his Father God's kingdom, and for his brothers in faith, for his sheep. He lived his life, and he could obey to the point of death. We can obey only when we cast off our own, you know, stubbornness or, you know, arrogance and pride, and we can live our Christian life with joy and thanks without them. So we gotta resemble the heart of Apostle Paul, and we have to be the imitators of Apostle Paul. To keep order, first of all, you should keep spiritual order. You gotta remember that the head of man and woman is Christ and God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 2 to 10, it talks about the ordinances of the Old Testament, and from verse 11, it explains the spiritual meaning. So, you have to find pairs in the Bible all the time when you read the Bible. Verse 2 says, now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. As he was doing his ministry, he went to various places and studied the churches. And he preached the gospel about gospel of heaven and resurrection of the Lord and message of the cross. And he also wrote to those churches about the word of God. Just as he said, you know, because you remember in everything, you know, the church members remembered Apostle Paul and his teaching, and they kept it. The members in the church of Corinth remembered how Apostle Paul reacted, how he behaved, and how he prayed, and what kind of speech he made. And they believed that whatever he did was true, and he was absolutely right. They remembered it, and they kept it, and they followed it. Now, verse 2, I mean, they were not with Apostle Paul for the entire days. However, they recalled and remembered what Apostle Paul did. Now, verse 2 keeps saying, because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered from to you. What did he deliver? What Apostle Paul delivered to the Christians was only the gospel of Jesus Christ and God's commandments and law. Give thanks in everything, pray without ceasing, rejoice, follow peace, pursue goodness, cast off unrighteousness. He taught like that. Now he says, now I praise you because you hold firmly to the traditions. Well, you will be praised if you keep the traditions. He will put you in a righteous position. I hope that you can keep the word of God and be praised by Father God. Now verse 3 says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. And the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. He praised them for holding to the traditions, but because there was no order, he was teaching, you know, orders. He says, I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. Now, who is the first? Our Father God is the first. Second, Jesus Christ. The third is man, and the fourth is woman. Now, verse 4 and 5 says, every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying and prophesying degraces her head, for she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. It's hard to understand if you try to understand these verses literally. Well, every man who has something on his head disgraces his head. It means every man must not put anything on his head, but every woman must cover her head. The covering one's head means the restraint. Therefore, every man should not put anything on his head because it means he is restrained. In this fleshly world, man is in the shape of Christ. So if he puts on something on his head, it means that he disgraces Jesus Christ. However, who is above every woman in a physical world? Man is, who is visible. So if a woman doesn't cover her head, it's like she's saying, I will not be restrained by man. I'll become the head. There is no one above me. She becomes like, you know, arrogant woman. She should serve, but she does not serve. She disgraces her head, man. So she has to, a woman has to put on something on her head in the, with the meaning of I obey, I'll subdue, and I'll serve. So shaving means disgracing. So not covering her head is disgracing. But don't misunderstand this. Well, since I know the truth, I should put on baseball cap or hat while praying. Well, female members, what is recorded is about behavioral ordinance. Don't misunderstand this. Some people come to church to in services with head on. And they say, the Bible says so. Well, they don't understand the true meaning of it. Since the Bible tells me to put on a hat, you know, I'm wearing it. Well, you don't understand it. The Old Testament emphasis on the action itself. However, you can find you have to find a pair in the New Testament.
여기서 머리라고 하는 뜻은 세 가지가 있습니다. 첫째로는 앞선다는 뜻이고 두 번째는 윗상 아래하의 위라는 뜻입니다.
The head means three things. First, a head. Second, before. Third, high. Let's think about the age. Let's say someone is in 50s, other is in 40s. Who is the head? The one in 50s. So he's the head. Now there is the positions. There is a CEO, vice president, chief executive, the executive officers, and deputy director. If a layman employee, you know, disgraces the CEO, it means the layman employee, you know, breaks the order, right? Let's say an order was made by a CEO, but a deputy director in a department makes an order against the order of the CEO. Then the deputy director breaks the order. You gotta know who is the head of the family. Who is the family? Who is the head of the family? Maybe there is a grandfather or a father. You gotta know who is the head of the family. If you know this order, you know, you will not be rude. You know, there is an order by ages and there is an order by positions. And you gotta keep this order properly. Well, you may have a grandfather or grandmother or father and mother and your elderly brother. And if there is a husband, and the husband is the head of the wife, so the wife should say, you know, yes and amen and obey, right? If there is no yes, then there will be disputes and arguments in the family. Well, inside the church, there are elders and senior deaconesses and deacons and deaconesses and, you know, layman members. And among pastors, there is the pastor in charge, and there is a pastor with authority. If you know this order, and if you know who is the head, then you will not act rude, and you will not be arrogant. You will just say yes and obey, right? Now, who is the top if we talk about authority? The very top in spirit and body is our God. And then Jesus Christ. And in a church, the senior pastor. Therefore, you gotta keep order well by understanding these orders. Let me give you an example. There is a head. This head, this man always, you know, considers others and try hard to find peace. He yield to his, you know, subordinates. Try to be very considerate. However, if the head is always yielding, he cannot set up perfect goodness. Even though it makes, you know, others, you know, hurt in their hearts, you know, they have to rebuke them to keep the law. Say, one subordinate breaks the order and ignores him. Then, of course, you know, personally, the head should not have the ill feeling, but follow peace. However, if the subordinate breaks the order even against the one who is ahead of that head, then it is not goodness to sit still. You may personally wait and keep peace. However, you have your own boss too. Now, your subordinate breaks the order and, you know, disgraces your boss, then you should not sit still. That's not goodness. While I was, you know, preparing this message, 95.9, what I'm delivering now is the actually what senior pastor delivered based on the lecture on the 1 Corinthians. Senior pastor gave us great explanation in great detail how to keep order and how, you know, he talks about not to make, you know, or cause, you know, divisions and stuff. I was so thankful preparing this message. Say, let's suppose Apostle Paul is right here. Now, some Gentiles or evil people hurls at an Apostle Paul. Now, should Christians sit still? Is it goodness? No. they are disgracing holy prophet, the prophet of the holy God. We should not stand still. You have got to discern it like this. Apostle Paul was very humble. He did only follow the will of God. But some people call him bad name. And you sit still, witnessing it, it's not goodness. Well, if someone calls you bad name, if someone hits you on your right cheek, then you can endure it, and that's goodness. Well, our shepherd keeps orders better than anybody. Even in layman members, if he is older than him, then he has never talked to him harshly. He has never been rude. He even bowed down before those, who is older than he is. So, by age or by position, there is order in everything. We gotta keep this law. Keep this order. Well, there is order between, old student and young student, right? I'm making an example of, hierarchy in the army or school or a job. Let's say Tom went to, army. Now, Jack is older than Tom, but, since Tom went to army ahead of him, Tom is in a higher rank than, Jack, even though Jack is older than, Tom. But inside the army, since he has to keep the order, Jack has to respect, show respect to, Tom. Now, however, Jack got out of the army before, Tom did. And he was employed by a company. And then, later, Tom was hired by the same company. Inside the company, who is ahead? Inside the company, Jack is a senior. And Tom is junior. You gotta know this order. So following the order, you gotta obey it. So if you know this order and keep it well, then you can make peace with everybody. However, I am, senior to you, I am in higher position than you are. You gotta serve me. Well, the higher your position becomes, more humble you should become. That's your duty. Can you understand what is the head? There are orders in the spiritual realm too. There are orders on this earth, and there are orders in every field between Father God and us, between Father and Son, between Father and servants. Inside the church, there is an order between senior pastor and layman members, and pastors and layman members, and elderly people and young people. In a physical sense, between a father and children, and husband and wife, and, mother and daughter-in-law, and grandma and grandson. There is order all the time. So you gotta keep this order. At home, what I was surprised was that whenever our shepherd prayed, the typhoon deceased and disappeared, just as our shepherd prayed. After he prayed, and the angels are working so hard, right, to keep the law, to keep the order. The order is kept precisely in heaven. Say, at home, you're a father. At home, but in company, your son is a CEO, and you are the doorkeeper. What should you do to your son in company? Of course, you have to respect your son as a CEO. You can't say, my son, at home, because you're a father at home. However, you have to show respect to your son in the company. That's the order. Then other people can, obey your son. No, he is my son, so I don't need to show my respect. But then the order will be broken. So in every field, the order should be kept. Let's say there is a group leader. Now this group leader went to a cell meeting. Now A member in that group is the cell leader in the cell meeting. The group leader is a member of the cell. Now, in the cell meeting, what should they do? Of course, the group leader should obey the cell leader. Inside the group, the cell leader should obey the group leader. As you can see, the order should be kept precisely. Let me read what our shepherd said. If you know God and the law of the spiritual realm, but if you break the law, it cannot be tolerated. You should be ashamed. Breaking the order cannot be tolerated by Father God. Father disgraces it. There was a problem in the Old Testament when the order was broken. When the order was broken between Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they had kept the word of God and obeyed the order, then something would not have happened like that. But eventually they stood against God. Out of their arrogance, they broke the order. If you're breaking the order, it is that you have arrogance in your heart. This is what our shepherd said. Brothers and sisters, now is the time to be united in one and keep orders. Breaking order is arrogance. It is standing against God after all. Breaking order is breaking a group or a meeting. If you think about the will of God and think about church, you should not insist on your own opinion all the time. Now, verses 11 and 12 says, however, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. Now, let's come back to New Testament. Without man, woman cannot exist. Without woman, man cannot exist. Apostle Paul is saying that, you know, and woman originates from man and man originates from woman. You know, Eve was originated from Adam. And then through Eve, all the descendants were born. But they are all originated from Father God. God created Adam and he created Eve. And God gave them sperm and seed. And they conceived and they produced again and again to make descendants. So it all originates from Father God. So as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has birth through the woman. All things originates from God, the Bible. In the Old Testament, God says about sexual equality in the Lord. In a spiritual order, every man and every woman should obey every man. But it is to obey by having peace, you know, comforting and loving each other. It's never to restrain, command, or control a woman with violence. So, you know, as you can see, men and women are equal. Because woman originates from man, and a man has his birth through woman, they should love each other and become one by the will of God. God is actually talking about equality. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. What does it mean? It says, be subject to your husband in the Lord. If the man tells you, woman, don't go to church, then it is outside the Lord. The word of the Lord is priority number one, and you have to obey in the Lord. If you obey the man, then you think your man is higher than the Lord. So it is not true obedience. Obedience in the Lord is true obedience. Let's say if your husband tells you to steal something, should you obey? Are you going to obey when your husband says, commit this sin? You should not. So, In the Lord, the husband will not tell you to steal. Wives, be subject to your husband as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. So, no, husbands didn't understand this verse well, so they just give commands to his wives. And that's not true, okay? The Bible tells the husbands to love, their wives, right? Love is to sacrifice and seek for others' benefit. If you give harm to others, then it is violence, not love. Now, verse 20 says, children, be obedient to your parent in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So, obedience should be kept. The obedience should be made in the Lord. Now, verse 21 says, fathers, do not exasperate as your children. Exasperate your children so that, they will not lose heart. Well, children also have their own rights. If you treat them harshly, then they may go astray. Some children who were quite smart and studied well, left home and, get along with bad friends because of, hard treatments of, parents. Well, some parents compare their children with the children in other family. And they are studying well, but why don't you? Well, the children in the family showing a high IQ, but your children have a low IQ. And it's not easy to catch up. But you compare your children with the other children. You are hurting your children's hearts. So you have to raise them wisely in the Lord. Now verse 22 says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who in the home who merely please men, but with the sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. In case of company, there is a CEO and there is workers, right? Employees. It says, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, but not with external service, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. That's what the Lord says. You have to, fear the Lord, and you gotta serve your master. Well, let me tell you about your spiritual explanation about woman later, okay? To keep order, the men and women should be equal, and they have to respect each other, they have to serve each other. Since there is Jesus Christ and Father God above them, they always think about their will and keep the order. To keep order, second, you should cast off the attitude of being contentious. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 16 says, but if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God. No, inside the church, peace should be kept, and order should be made. But people argue each other, it cannot be tolerated. When Father God gives orders, it should be kept in the Old Testament. People cannot manipulate the will of God. They cannot argue, and they cannot insist on their own idea. If there is, then there is a dispute, and there is a work of Satan. Four, if there is a one who is inclined to be contentious, then there is no such practice in the church. So what's the reason of being contentious? First, because you cannot control yourself. Those with the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit cannot become contentious. Because the Word of God tells us to be low, to serve, and to yield, and seek for others' benefits. However, if you ignore this word, if you cannot control yourself, you become contentious. Well, since worldly people argue each other, there are disputes. They cannot control themselves. So since they got complaints in their hearts, they eventually become contentious. They want to become the head. They want to become the leaders. So they become contentious. They set standard. They set their idea as a standard, not the word of truth. If the truth becomes their standard, then they will keep it. And they will not be, you know, contentious. Later on, they go further to tell a lie and then and make, you know, evil scheme. You will not be contentious if you remember the truth, but you will serve. Since you try to achieve what you want, you tell a lie and you argue, but it should not be done inside in the truth. Second, you are contentious because you cannot control your emotions. Since you don't control your ill feelings but complaints in your heart, the complaints later expressed as argument. Therefore, the Bible tells us to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. You can find it in Job. Job's friends could not control their emotions, so they argue with Job all the time. And Father God was not pleased with it, so Father God told them to repent. When people have complaints in their hearts, they become contentious. The truth tells us to turn complaint into goodness. And if there is a complaint in the heart, then we gotta find evil, discover evil in ourselves. Whether it is envy and jealousy and whether greed, we gotta find the root of that complaint. And we gotta pray fervently to cast it off. You know, even worldly people express their complaints in the form of lies and evil. However, we are holy people in the Lord. Since Father God searches our heart, we gotta resemble the will of Father God. We gotta understand each other, and we gotta show greater good to others. Third, I mean, as I was preparing this message, I thought about games that I used to play with loud voice. Sometimes I talk to people. Since the volume of the music is so loud, the people could misunderstand what I said. I said, if the volume of the music is so loud, even though I said A, you know, people heard me B. So in the end, about like 10 people later, the people at the end of the line, you know, completely, you know, misunderstood in whatever I said. Completely different word. So if you talk much, that talk may contain complaints. Since you got, you know, feelings inside your heart. So, but, you know, if you have complaint in your heart, you may convey whatever you hear to others in the wrong way, in a different contents. So you got to remember this and always ask yourself whether you have peace in your heart, whether you pursue peace and truth. You can always look back on yourself. Well, while visiting members, I heard many testimonies. Pastor, I had sorrow in my heart. I got hardships in my heart. However, while praying in Daniel prayer meeting, since it was a special Daniel prayer meeting, I was touched in my heart. I got fullness, and I found peace in my heart. I heard such testimonies a lot. Someone said, you know, she finished in the moving. Inside the space of the shepherd, I received this kind of blessing. So I moved to new and better house. My husband tried to attend, but he was so busy in his company, so he couldn't come. I said, good job, you know. He has to keep the order in his company. He has to be there. So I'm so pleased. There was a sister. She was there. She vowed a 1 month prayer. And then Mrs. Bolin Lee prayed for her. And then she got a job right after that. And she said, you know, I'm pleased to be here because, you know, I got the job after receiving Mrs. Bolin Lee's prayer. Inside the space of the shepherd, you find peace. And you think in truth, you think in goodness. So you are blessed in your company, in your business. Was a member who was running a business. Pastor, my business got so prosperous. I can feel it. I'm in the space of the shepherd. Thank you. I could hear such testimonies a lot. This week, this time around, How do you manage this time? Having peace, following truth, praying fervently. Are you doing it? Someone made this confession. I read the Bible a lot. In the Bible, I feel like I'm living a life of many prophets. I shed tears while reading Bible. I heard such confessions. In you, in this moment of blessing, you got to ask yourself whether you find peace and search for the goodwill of Father God in your heart, or whether you become contentious and try to argue with anybody. Okay? Third, you are contentious because things do not go and agree with your thought. Well, let's say 10 people may have different favor. If they go to a restaurant, they would make, well, chances are that they can make 10 different orders. However, the order should be kept. Let's say you have your own favorite color, favorite food, favorite toothpaste. You know, someone likes, you know, dancing music. Some people like, you know, jazz music. Everybody has, you know, different flavor, right? Different favor. You gotta think of the order and keep the order. Let's say if there are 10 captains in one ship, then the ship cannot go to right direction. There is a saying that goes, with 10 captains, the ship may go to mountain. There must be only one captain. Even though you are better than the captain, you gotta obey the word of the captain. Then the ship can sail right. If you insist on your own idea, then the ship cannot sail well. It is arrogance to stick to your own idea, thinking that you are right. Even though you think you're right, you may tell them your idea, but if they don't hear your idea, then you gotta keep the order, following peace. In the world, however, people break order to make their thoughts accepted. They make evil schemes to persecute others or manipulate the truth, to do things out of their own will. However, Father God sees everything, whether the order is kept, whether the order is well obeyed, or the enemy, devil, and Satan is at work. And Father God protects those children who follow the truth and goodness. What about our Lord? When the other is contentious, did he become contentious too? Well, our Lord will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Just the Bible says he was like that. To the eyes of our Lord, there were so many things against the truth. However, he was not contentious. He didn't argue. Even that there is someone who inclined to be contentious, there is no such, you know, regulations in such church. 1 Timothy 6 verses 3 to 5, it says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. Now, verse 3 says, if anyone does not agree with sound words and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, here's anyone who advocates a different doctrine. To advocate means to put something in mind and think about it. It means we should have the doctrine conforming to godliness in mind, and we got to think about it. Living a righteous life, living in goodness, living a godly life is the truth. However, if people do not live such a life, he is arrogant, he is contentious. Those who not live by the word of God, those who not follow the word of the godliness, They are arrogant. They don't understand. He is the one who has a morbid interest in controversial questions, disputes about words. They don't know a thing. However, they think, you know, they are smart. They know better than anybody. So they make arguments and they become contentious. Brothers and sisters, think about yourself before you changed. You thought you were smart. But Father God says you're arrogant. You think you know, but you don't know. Which means you don't know the truth. If you truly knew the truth and knew the goodness, you would not argue, but keep the order. So if you think you are smart, be ashamed. Father God watches over you. That's why the wisdom of this world does not know God. You have to be very careful about this. If anyone does not agree with sound words and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. Novice Christians like to be contentious. They argue. That is not against my own idea. That is wrong. That's what novice Christians do. How can they say that they are right without knowing the truth? They could do so because they didn't know the truth when they have no faith. Well, when you come to church first time and listen to the words, then you might have said, you know, that's not right. You misunderstood it. Now, once you know the truth, then you realize that what you said was not right. You just say amen and amen to the truth. Right? Now these Christians make arguments. They become contentious. And they ignore others. That means, you know, they don't know themselves. They are not right in the truth. Don't become contentious. The Bible says it is shameful. It is arrogance. It cannot be tolerated in the church. Therefore, when we live in the Word of God, we can stand on the rock, and enemy devil and Satan cannot work on it. Even though leaders do not teach right and they go against the truth, then we can be in the position to teach them right. We may give them advice, right? But even though we can give advice, we should not argue. We don't need to make complaints continually. If they don't listen, if they keep on going against the truth, then who will be at work next? So who will work next? Well, Father God himself will do. So you gotta depend on our Father God. Give it onto the hand of our Father God. You should not argue yourself. You gotta depend on Father God. You should not break the order by making arguments or becoming a contentious. Verse 16 says, but if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God. Only by obedience and in order, the kingdom of God can be accomplished. In the world, they say, I'm right. You're not wrong. I mean, you're wrong. I'm the head. You're under me. No. And they use all kinds of arguments, or they even give bribes to make things as they see fit. However, inside the church has only righteousness, and, truth and goodness and order. When you keep this order, the law of God can be kept. Even if there is one who is contentious inside the church, we should not keep the practice. So, that's why the Bible gives the explanation about order first and then it says like that. Inside the church, we have to keep the order. If we insist on our own opinion, there will be the synagogue of Satan. The meeting should solely for Father God and for the for the brotherhood in Christ and for the righteousness of Father God, then there will be joy and fullness and thanks and peace. However, if there is contentions or arguments, then it becomes the synagogue of Satan. Verse 17 says, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. There are many different kinds of meetings in the church. Outside the church, there are meetings in the name of the Lord. Well, that meeting should be praised by Father God, right? Hebrews says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, if the gathering becomes against the will of God, then it is not the will of God. It cannot please Father God. It later becomes a synagogue of Satan. So, the Apostle Paul said, I do not praise you. This is what Apostle Paul said, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Well, let's say a meeting of pastors. They gather together and then they ask themselves how to make people love each other and rejoice together, and how to make them repent and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, how to visit members better, and how to manage time better for Father God's kingdom. If there are such gatherings beneficial for souls and for Father God's kingdom, it is acceptable, right? Father God says, do not become contentious. But people gather and they become contentious and argue each other. I went to a meeting. After the meeting, they said, Pastor, in Daniel prayer meeting, I'll pray a lot. I'll pray fervently. He was not invited, but he said, I will pray fervently in Daniel prayer meeting. Someone said, I will do my duty faithfully. My duty to help my senior pastor is to take care of my members in my cell. Their confessions. The one parish member said, the last 12 years, I didn't pray. I didn't give vow prayer. But since in this moment of blessing, I never skipped praying. The husband was laughing at her because his wife didn't pray for the last 12 years. But now in special Daniel prayer meeting, his wife, prays a lot fervently. So the husband gives full support to his wife. As I pray, I am so happy in my heart. Whenever I think about my shepherd, I'm so happy. And I will do my duty as visiting members and reading Bible. I will manage my time well until senior pastor comes back. When she says so, I was so happy. In gatherings, even inside the church or outside the church, what kind of meetings do you keep? You gotta pray more. You gotta be faithful more. You gotta check your meetings too. Even if you become low, even if you are not ahead, even if you serve all the time, if you acknowledge the Father God, then you will eventually become the head. Only Father God acknowledges can a man become the head. The Lord said you should be low to become high. Well, if you are low in the truth, Father God naturally raise you up. But if you try to be served, if you try to go high, then you will eventually become low. Those who try to argue with the matters of sin, they have to repent. Why they have such attitude? And repent and turn back. How to accomplish the will of Father God and righteousness of Father God in the truth? You gotta think about this in your meetings. You gotta cast off the attitude of becoming contentious. People waste their time in accomplishing the kingdom of God since they become contentious. If there are 30 and waste 3 hours, then they wasted 90 hours. If they took care of that matter in just an hour, And they saved in 2 hours. It means, you know, they saved 60 hours, right? It is not right because of your arrogance if others do not feel the fullness in their hearts. What a waste. It should not happen. Father has told us to gather together and have the conversation of truth and have the conversation of faith. But if there is a conversation of the world in wrong meetings, Father God cannot be pleased. To keep orders, third, we should cast off divisions. Verse 18 says, "For, in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part, I believe it." Well, there are many churches with divisions inside. You know, they have many divisions for elders, divisions for senior deaconesses, or deacons, or deaconesses, or pastor, or wife of pastor. There are so many divisions. Since you are well armed with the Word of God, you know, there is no divisions inside this Mammon church. We arm ourselves with the truth in God. We are one. So there must not be any factions or divisions among us. And we should not tolerate them, right? Father God is full of goodness, righteousness, justice, and love. So, if you are in the division of Father God, then there will be no such divisions or fractions, right? But the Apostle Paul said, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. It means Apostle Paul didn't confirm it by himself, but he heard it. So that's why he said, in part I believe it. He may judge or condemn. He may misunderstand by hearing, right? He didn't see himself. He just heard it. So Apostle Paul said, in part I believe it. Now, verse 18 and 19 is saying like this. For in the, I mean, in certain situation nowadays, what I'm thankful for is that when I met Mrs. Bong Lim Lee and Pastor Sujin Lee, they don't believe in part, or they don't believe it. So, I ask myself, when word is conveyed from here to there, then the words can be modified or changed, right? So always remember. That's what Apostle Paul said, in part I believe it. He didn't believe it fully. He didn't believe it 100%. But, you know, we hear words that were conveyed by many people, but we haven't seen them with our own eyes. So you gotta think one more time in goodness and in righteousness and in truth. By the will of God. Verse 19 says, there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Well, both divisions and factions are not proper in the sight of God at all. These are the synagogues of Satan. So, such, you know, divisions or factions should not be tolerated in a church. However, Apostle Paul said, you know, he is very wise. You may think it may appear to be, you know, praise, but it is not actually praise. So, I mean, Apostle Paul says like this, there must also be factions among you so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Don't misunderstand this verse. What he says is that because of factions or divisions, righteousness is covered. When there is a lie, truth would be revealed. Since there is a truth, there is untruth. Since there is untruth, there is untruth. Because of the existence of factions or divisions, people become, you know, what they do become evident. That's why he said, those who are approved may become evident among you. They say, you know, they are right. But the third people should discern who is right and who is proper. If you apply this truth to your life, then you may discern correctly, even among brothers in faith. Well, worldly people do not believe in Father God. They don't live in the truth. So they make judgment according to others, you know, actions or deeds or speech. They have to make judgment by them. But we have to discern only by the standard of the truth. Those who know the truth can discern it well. Other than truth, it cannot be discerned well. But when it is discerned by the truth, it is so precisely right. The truth is the soul equation. It is the heart of God. So if you know the truth, it may benefit you well. Those who don't know about the truth, they don't live by the truth. So even though they say they don't lie, if he does not know the truth well, until he casts off all the bad habits, he may repeat the bad and old habit. Sometimes he can tell a lie, he can betray, or he can deceive others. It can happen because he still does not know the truth well. Inside the church, there may be divisions and factions. Some say, they are not right, they are wrong. But we are right. There may be people like that. However, since you are armed well with the truth, you can discern it well. If there is a work of Satan occurs in this church, you can discern it well right away. That's the work of Satan. That's Satan. That's evil thing. That's untruth. He's an unrighteous man. You can discern it. So whoever says what, you have to discern it by the truth. By the standard of truth, you have to discern whether what he's saying is right or not. Someone is talking about something, but he is angry. But the other one is talking about someone with the out of love. You gotta see whether he is speaking out of evil or if he is telling a lie. You can figure it out all by the standard of the truth. If it is against the truth, then he is evil. He is receiving the work of Satan, even though he is speaking plausible words. So, you will not be deceived. There will be no factions or divisions. You will not make a mistake, since you stand firmly on the truth. And you will not hinder the glory of Father God. You will not commit the same sin that others are making. So remember this. So even though you are in a cell or a group, wherever you are, even though you hear some plausible words, you have to always discern whether they are truth or not. Someone is close to you. Someone treats you well. Someone gives you something all the time. So, you listen to him? No. You have to discern it. You have to discern whatever he or she says by the standard of the truth. Those liars always tell a lie, right? Those who don't know the truth may listen to liars because they speak, you know, some plausible words. One day, what time, and something happened. They say like this as if they saw it. Since they speak like that, you gotta discern it well by the truth. Say, Mamin people know this very well, right? So far, you heard the truth from our shepherd. You can discern it well. You can see whether it is truth or not, whether it's a lie or not. There's a drunken man. He never tells he's drunken. Not all of them, but most drunken people say, I'm not drunken. I'm fine. Well, these are the examples given by our shepherd. They say, I'm fine. Then they keep on drinking. Some people cannot walk well. But when people ask them, you're drunken. Then he said, I'm fine. I'm not drunken. Even by you know, walking, you know, zigzag walking. Liars do not say, he's lying. They always say, I'm not lying. And it is a lie. Since they are liars, even though when they tell a lie, they say, I'm not a liar. And that is a lie, right? You can find some people who have hot temper in this church. Well, some people say, well, your voice, you raise your voice too much. I can hear a voice outside. We say that because we don't want to, you know, point them, you know, you got hot temper. Well, to those who speak softly, think that, you know, the person who raised his voice had a hot temper. So, must be ashamed, right? Let's say someone pointed to your wrongdoings. I mean, let's say you love someone and that person made a mistake. So you pointed it. And that's right because you did it out of love. However, if you just say you did this wrong, you should never do that. If you end there, then there is no benefit. You have to, at the end of the point, you have to plant the truth. When you plant the word of truth, word of God, then the person can understand it perfectly, and then he can accept it. If he is not evil, then he will say, ah, I made a mistake, and he can turn back. So you, at the end, you always have to plant the word of truth in the end. So if Apostle Paul stopped the pointing the wrongdoings, then the members in the Church of Corinth could not understand why they were wrong. That's why Apostle Paul said in verse 19, for there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. That's why Apostle Paul said like that. Divisions or factions exist, saying that, I'm right. No, you are not right. I'm right. And Apostle Paul gave this advice so that they can understand by saying like this. This kind of divisions or factions should be tolerated in the church. But he's saying, you know, there must also be factions among you. He's saying, you know, the faction should not be tolerated, but he's saying that there must also be factions among you so that those who were approved may become evident among you. Let me tell you again. He's not saying that factions can be tolerated. What he's saying is that they can be approved. Which one is wrong? 1 Corinthians 14:34 says, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. Some churches interpret this literally, and they don't give any right to speak to women. But what is the spiritual meaning of this? Genesis 3:16 says, to the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. He didn't say that in the beginning, but now he says, when the woman was cursed, your husband will rule over you. Why was she cursed? Well, Eve was the first to be deceived by the serpent and ate from the knowledge of good and evil. And then she deceived her husband to eat from it. Become a sin. Of course, you know, Adam ate from it, so he was a sin too. But she was even worse. You know, women have such, you know, attributes. So they are coward and they are weak compared to men. So that's why Bible makes the woman as an example to give us spiritual meaning. The Bible tells woman to be silent in the church means the women refers to not only the woman does not refer to members of the church. The woman refers to those who don't live by the truth. Spiritual meaning of this is that just like Eve deceived her husband to commit sin, people of untruth make bad effect on church. So the Bible tells them to be quiet and be silent. If such people do not keep silent, they will be the work of Satan. So, what should church do? Well, those who follow the truth are silent. They keep order, they obey, and they become silent. But woman, which means those who don't live by the truth, they are arrogant, they are crafty, they speak a lot, they misunderstand a lot, they make judgment and judge condemnation, and they complain. Since they put them into action, there will be no silence in the church. Such people should obey and become silent. Inside the church, women members are even greater than other members. And they are workers of the church following the will of God. That's why this church is always silent. There is peace always inside this church. So this verse does not mean to those women members who live by the truth. Father God uses women when they are more confident, more brave, and better in loving Father God. There was a woman judge in the Old Testament. There was a lady prophetess. So, this Bible verse is meant to those who don't live by the truth. Verse 35 says, if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. This is what the 1 Corinthians 14:35 says. Head of woman is man. Head of man is Christ Jesus. So those who don't live by the truth should ask the Lord. Obeying the husband means obeying the Lord. Those who don't live by the truth, those who live in the world, most of them are talkative, they have narrow mind, and they got angry easily, and they are not confident, they are weak, they are crafty, and they make complaints all the time. And there are works of disputes, envy, and Satan. Such people should be silent and follow the will of the Lord. If you think you are still fleshly people, if you think you are a woman in a spiritual meaning, then you should follow the truth. And once you change as the truth comes in you, then you may be approved by God and become workers. You gotta discern it well. I hope you can discern everything by the word of truth. If there are divisions and factions inside the church, they must have their goals. There are people who love God, and they have a goal of keeping the kingdom of God. However, there are people who try to hinder the glory of Father God. Well, if we truly love God and the shepherd, then we have to make one voice. If you truly think of the kingdom of God and think of the church, then we have to make one voice and obey the word of God. And we got to do our job only by the will of God and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude this message. I told you three things about order. First, we should follow God's will, keeping spiritual order. Second, we should cast off the attitude of being contentious. Third, we should cast off divisions and factions. We've been running with hope for heaven in the space of the shepherd. We've been running toward New Jerusalem with hope for New Jerusalem, with hope for a reward in heaven. We've strived to consider others, served others, become humble others, become humble ourselves. And we have yielded to others with goodness and love. However, we sometimes see what we thought would cast off when we were with the shepherd, the image of a woman in a fleshly sense, such as envy, jealousy, boasting, greed, or selfish motives. Aren't you insisting yourself? Aren't you talking loud? Aren't you easily getting irritated, even in small matters or doing untruth? Or are you filling yourself with goodness and forgiveness, thinking of 1% of justice? The big picture of my main ministry is that Father God is goodness and love, and He is with the shepherd of my men. I have witnessed Pastor Soojin Lee was coping with many things. I asked her, what should you do? What would you do? And she said, in Daniel prayer meeting, can you imagine what our shepherd is through compared to that? What I'm doing is nothing. I put that word in my heart. Our shepherd is walking with the truth, and He desired to meet you. My men, with the vision of world mission, an evangelization of Korea. So many people were healed. Only the power of God can show the Father God is alive. For that reason, our shepherd has never stopped doing His ministry. Now, how are you feeling of your own 1% of justice? Are you gossiping? Are you conveying bad words? No. You should serve. You should love. You should pray. You should become one with love. We should fill ourselves with goodness so that we can become workers in the canon sanctuary era. We should be united in the spiritual order. There were things which seemed impossible. Indeed, they turned into impossible things, and Father God blessed more. No matter how hard Saul tried to kill and slander David, God made David as a big vessel and set him up as His beloved and recognized king. Joseph was greatly loved by his father, but he was sold by his own brothers. He did goodness there, but by the accusation of wife of Potiphar, he went to prison. But Father God said, everything was prosperous with him. He didn't complain. Rather, he sought for the goodwill of Father God, and He made him big vessel. When he met his brothers, he forgave them out of goodness, and he took care of everything following order out of his consideration. He could save his country, his family in great famine. Father God made him a big vessel. The same thing happens to us now. We should feel the depth of love and heart of Father God, and we should feel up our shortages. We should fill ourselves with goodness so that we can become workers in the Canaan sanctuary era. We should be united in the spiritual order before we meet our loving shepherd. I hope you will act by faith and become obedient until the time when we glorify Father God. Let's think of the message and pray together.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.